So I want to remind you of a perek. Remember, there were actually, I think it was, where is she? I thought I saw her coming, Estelle. Yeah, I did see her coming, but she always disappears after she comes. So remember, Estelle was asking about what it is that Malachi keeps saying when he excoriates the Kohanim for desecrating the Karbonot in the Mikdash. If you remember, one of the points that Malachi makes is all of the world really knows that there is what he called, what the Malbim called a Siba Rishona, a first cause, what the philosophers call a first cause, a prime cause. In other words, even though they worshipped idols, they knew that there was some force behind what went on in the world, that there had to be a course, something that was conducting the world. And so the pasuk that we read about it, and I remembered specifically, also because you know that I have the recording, I remembered Estelle saying, but is it true that all the nations at the time realized that there is a God, for want of any better word, I'm saying a God. Pasuk Yud Aleph was quoted in a lovely Dvar Torah on Parshat Vayera that we just read last week, Nachon. Pasuk Yud Aleph was quoted, Ki mi Mizrach Shemesh va'ad mevo'o, because from where the sun rises and until where it sets, Gadol Shmi Bagoyim. Nachon, my name is great. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking among the nations. Ubekol Makom, in every place, Muktar Mugash Lishmi. There's Ketoret that's brought close for me, in my name, Umincha Tahora, and a pure Mincha. Ki gadol shmi bagoyim, amar Hashem Tzvakot. Because my name is great among the nations, says Hashem Tzvakot. So we translated it the way all the Mefarshim do, mi mizrach shemesh va'ad mevo'o, from one end of the world to the other, right? Isn't that the way we translated it? Mm-hmm. However, there was a very nice statement. Ki Me, that mem, me Mizrach Shemesh, from the rising of the sun and until its setting. In other words, from the fact that the sun rises in the morning over here and sets over there, all the people in the world learned that there had to be something that made it rise and something that made it set. And who did they learn it from? They learned it from Avraham, because Avraham Avinu said to the people of his time, look, the sun rises in the east every morning and it sets in the sun every evening. How could it be that it just happens? There has to be a great power that set the world up to work in this way. Ki mi Mizrach Shemesh va'ad mevo'o. In other words, it all was from Avraham. So you can look at this pasuk again and look at it in a slightly different way and say, from the time of Avraham, who told the people that one can understand from the way the world works in an orderly fashion that there is a God, people understood from the time of Avraham that there was a God. So certainly, you who are entrusted, you Kohanim, who are entrusted with the role of doing the Avodah in my Beit HaMikdash, certainly should understand what your role is. And you should bring a Mincha Tahorah and not bring an animal that has a mum or an animal that's sick or whatever you did that was wrong. I thought it was good. I thought it was very interesting. At any rate. So that was in Perek Aleph. We are in Perek Bet. We were still talking about the Kohanim. I'm sorry, I'm a little hoarse.
That caused the rule, that set up. That it's not erratic or arbitrary. Exactly. There are rules.
Not random.
It's not random. Yes. The all of nature is not random.
It's not random because there's a God. There is a power that created it, that set it in place. Yes. There was actually an alternate part of the Midrash that was brought by the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel said that Avraham Avinu had a margalit b'fiv. He had a pearl, he had a precious jewel in his mouth, which really means that he spoke beautifully, that he was able to speak, convince people to tell them the truth and that they listen to him. And so that's why from the time of Avraham Avinu, people realized that there had to, it wasn't random, that nature wasn't random, that it was set into place by a major, major divine power. Whew. Okay, I liked that. I like when things fit together. You know, when you could take this part of Torah and plug it in over here, which you could do all the time. So basically, Perek Bet, we had gotten to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Kohanim that, yes, we only did two psukim, I believe. He says, the mitzvah belongs to you, Kohanim. You have, don't blame it on the people who bring you a karban that's not good. Because your job, Kohanim, is to make sure that the karbanot are good. The mitzvah is on you, aleichem ha-mitzvah hazot. And if you don't listen and you don't pay attention to give kavod to my name, pasuk bet, those of you who are following, Amar Hashem Tzvakot, then I am going to send a curse to you. And your bracha, when you bless the people, when you do the Birkat Kohanim, is going to turn into a bracha, a klala. In other words, remember, Vasamti et Shmi, right? How does it go? Va'ani ever? Oh, Vasamu et Shmi al Bnei Israel. They're going to put my name on Bnei Israel. Va'ani avarchem. So Hashem is saying, I'm not going to bless them like I promised. It's going to turn into a klala. Okay, two answers. Answer one, it's not like Bnei Israel were being angelic as well. They weren't. Remember, they were bringing the korbanot that were not perfect. And it's a very dangerous thing to have a leadership position, my dear friends. One of the problems with a leadership position is that you take responsibility.
No, I understand it.
It's you're going to help me? You're going to help me, Estelle?
No, well, but the thing is, we say that the people get the leader that they deserve.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say. Unfortunately, that's one of the things, almost all of the Nevi'im speak about the leaders. Almost all of the Nevi'im at some point or another will speak about the leaders, and it will be quite harsh. It'll be quite harsh sometimes. Your leaders led you straight into galut. Well, it's interesting with the Kohanim. Could there have been a rebellion? You know, of course there could have been. I want to remind you that twice in our history, there was a rebellion that was taken up by the Kohanim themselves. Against, in other words, the Kohanim at that time were the good ones. Some of the Kohanim. I'm thinking about Yehoyada HaKohen, who saved Yoash. If you remember, it was when Natalia took over, she made herself queen, and she killed all the Zerah HaMalchut. And they had a rebellion of the Kohanim. And then, of course, the Hanukkah story, which is rapidly approaching. During the Hanukkah story, there was one group of Kohanim, because remember, there was corruption already among the Kohanim at the time, there was Hellenism that was spreading. And so one group of Kohanim did a rebellion. Here, nobody's objecting to what's going on. This is, please remember, a little before. Historically, it's quite a bit before. 100 years before, maybe a little more, the Hanukkah story. That's what Marcel is saying. And I'll give you another answer, even though it's a cop-out. How about a cop-out answer? The cop-out answer is, please remember that this is a threat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the threat to be very severe. It's not what he's doing. It's a threat. And the threat, hopefully, will make an impression. This is a threat. If you're not going to be any better, then I'm going to turn it into a klala. Did it ever work? How did it work? We don't really know. It's the Navi is speaking. And please remember, we said this last week, this is the last Navi. This is the last word of Nevuah. He's begging them. He's saying, this is the last thing you're going to hear directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the last thing. And he needs it to be strong. Right? It's like sometimes, you know, I never used to know how to threaten, what punishment to threaten kids in a class with. I never could think of anything that would be sufficiently strong. What are you supposed to say? If you don't hand in these papers by the following date, you know, or whatever. So I used to say, if you don't hand in these papers by the following date, the punishment will be so severe that I cannot even bring myself to describe it to you.
So what did you?
It worked. So that's what's going on here, is a severe threat. Did it work? He's trying to get it to work. You will make the people suffer. It's the opposite we're going to see in this parak. Hold on. It's the opposite of how a Kohen should feel about the people. Remember we say a Kohen should
love them.
Ba'ahava. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu levarech et amo Yisrael. Ba'ahava. It's supposed to be with love. Okay, let's go on, all right?
Yes.
That point, by the way, is going to be made. The contrast between the way the Kohanim were acting and the way they should have acted is going to be made in this perek very shortly. Pasuk Gimel. Hineni go'er lachem et hazera. It's a very, very interesting, it says go'er, and go'er we usually think of as anger, right? Go'er b'chem et hazera. But it's interesting that Mitzudot says, in yan za'akat nezifa. I'm going to scream at the grain so that it doesn't grow. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I'm going to scream at the grain. V'zeiriti peresh al p'neichem. And when you are doing the karbanot, I'm going to throw, peresh is the garbage. The filth of the animal, the tzo'ah. I'm going to throw it on your face. Peresh chageichem. The filth of the animals that you bring for a korban chagiga, v'nasa etchem elav, and it's as though what you're doing, your actions, will draw you to the filth of the korbanot. So here they're being punished, not just the people. And the Malbim says to us, just a moment, he says, Kasher huftechu al yidei Chagai. Do you remember when we learned Chagai? And Chagai said to them, don't you see that something is wrong? You keep on planting a lot and you harvest a little, remember? You keep on planting and you're not getting enough. Don't you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing you that there's something that you're not doing right? And what you're not doing right is you are not building the Beit HaMikdash. You are busy with your own fields. So, says the Malbim, Chagai and Zechariah promised them, Shemeit hitchilu bibinyan HaMikdash, that from the time they actually started building the Beit HaMikdash, v'hakravat ha-karbonot, and when they started doing the karbonot, tiyeh bracha bazera, there'll be a bracha in their planting, in the seeds, asher yizra'u, that they will plant. V'ata with an ayin, and now, shelo shemartem mishmeret ha-karbonot karo'oi, when you have not done the order of the karbonot as you should, as is worthy, egar bishvilchem et hazera bal titzmach livracha. I'm going to scream because of you at the seeds that it shouldn't grow as it should, at livracha, as a bracha. And not only that, you're not going to get the plants, your crops, Vizariti perish alpnechem, she'achar she'hakorbanot psulim, lo nishar mehem rak ha'perish. The korbanot psulim anyway, because you're taking animals that you shouldn't take. There's nothing left but garbage. And that garbage, I'm going to throw in your faces. She'atem machnisim la'heichal mitzo'at ha'nikravim. It's as though you're bringing just the fecal matter of the karbonot, and there's nothing else. And I'm going to throw that on your faces. Pasuk Dalet. V'yidatem ki shilachti aleichem et ha-mitzvah hazot liyot briti et levi, amar Hashem Tzvakot. And perhaps if I punish you, then you'll know, you'll understand that I sent you this mitzvah of what you do in the Beit HaMikdash, so that my brit will be, and when it says Levi, it means the Kohen and the Levi. It means the house of the Leviim, the Shevet, Amar Hashem Tzvakot. You will know what it's really supposed to be like. And here he talks about what it's really supposed to be like. He says, Briti haita ito, hachayim v'hashalom. I made a special brit. I made a special covenant with Shevet Levi and the Kohanim for chayim and for shalom. Remember with Pinchas, hineni notein lo et briti shalom. What are you doing? Va'et name lo mora va'yira eini, and I gave them fear, in other words, that there's an awe upon them, and they realize, and they in turn fear me, umipnei shmi nichatu, and the Kohen or the Levi, because before my name, should nichat, should tremble, should fall apart. In other words, he's supposed to have entirely the opposite point of view. The Levi is supposed to feel an awe of the job that he does. The Kohen is supposed to be fearful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the job that he does. Don't we say on Yom Kippur how happy everybody was when the Kohen Gadol came out of Kodesh Kadashim safely? It was a fear, Mare Kohen. It was a fearful thing. Torat emet haita befihu. See, it's the direct opposite that he's describing now. The Kohen was a person who not only did the Korbanot correctly, who understood the awe and fear of his position, but remember that he was also the teacher of the people. The Torah of truth was in his mouth. Va'avla lo nimtza b'sfatav. And there was never anything wrong avel in his lips. B'shalom uv'mishor halach iti. He walked with me straight, mishor, and with peace. V'rabim heshiv me'avon. And the Levi and the Kohen were able to bring a lot of people back from sinning. In other words, their job was to teach the people and to keep them on the right path. And the example that's given by the Mefarshim is, remember, after Chet HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mi Lashem Elai, Vayavohu Elai Kol Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi came to him. There's a very interesting discussion in the Malbim. It's very long, and I don't want to go into the length of it, I want to tell you this. Just there's a little part. On this pasuk, Torat Emet Haita Befihu, that the Torah is in his peh. Va'avla lo nimtza bisfatav. So you know that the Malbim can't stand if there's a peh and there's a svatayim. So peh is what? Mouth. And svatayim is lips. So this is what I want to read you, just the beginning of the Malbim. He says, Torat Hashem, va'al yedei yirat Hashem sheyikba b'libo. And because of the Yirat Hashem that's in his heart, Yishmor Divrei Hashem, he's going to guard the words of Hashem, Bein B'mashe Nogea LaTorah U'LeTeuda, whether it's what is about the Torah itself, Bein Mashe Nogea LaMaaseh V'Hanaga, or his actions. In other words, he's careful with the philosophy, with the thought, and with the actions. B'inyan HaTorah, when it's the Torah itself, Torat Emet Haita B'fihu, the Torah of truth is in his mouth. HaTorah Shelamad B'fnei Atzmo, Haita Torat Emet K'fi HaChochma HaMekubelet MiSinai. So what's in his mouth is the Torah that he has learned according to what he accepted from Sinai. Va'avla, avla, evil actions, lo nimtza bisfatav, on his lips. B'masha lamad v'horela acherim, hore kefi halacha. In other words, what he's actually teaching. So what's in his mouth is what he got, and his lips are then transmitting what he got in his mouth to other people. Umavoaretzli is not finished yet. And I understand, Shahasafahi chitzonit neged hapeh. That the safa is the outside of what's in your mouth. Umore al masha motzi min hasafa lachutz, Lil mod la acherim. So, lilamed. Sorry, lilamed la acherim. You are absolutely right. But what I thought was interesting is the peh is what he receives. It's like the peh is the receptacle. It's what he gets, and the svatayim is what he gives back. So when it says, I thought it was really interesting. Torat Emet Haita Befiu. The Torah that he got, he took the full, true Torah and internalized it. It comes into his mouth and it becomes part of him. Then, in turn, the job of the Kohen was to, with his Sfatayim, to give it back, to speak, to actually pronounce, because the lips pronounce, the mouth swallows, the lips pronounce. So I just thought it was an interesting discussion, an interesting description, I meant, that the Malbim said here about the fact that he's got to learn it well, the Torah Emet, and that path, think about like taking it in. And then the Sfatayim have to give back how he teaches others, and how he teaches others cannot have any avla. He takes in the Torah Emet, and he must give back that which is without avla. We got to look it up. I can't remember now. You are absolutely right, but Siftei Kohen is supposed to speak the truth. There is a pasuk. There is right here one of them, Ki Siftei Kohen Yishmeru Da'at V'Torah Yivakshu Mi Pihu. Again, there's the piece, Siftei Kohen Yishmeru Da'at. The lips guard knowledge. Knowledge is what you teach. The Torah Yivakshu Mi Pihu, when they need to search for the Torah from his mouth that has swallowed, that has taken in the Torah that he learned. Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakotu. Because he is Malach, here is a Shaliach. Shaliach, right? Not an angel the way we think of, he's good. It's a Shaliach because he is a messenger, a representative of Hashem Tzvakot. So the Torah of Hashem has to be in his mouth. He has to have learned the Torah. And his lips must only speak that which the people need to hear. Va'atem, pasuk chet, sartem min haderech. But you, Kohanim, today, you've gone off the derech. Hichshaltem rabim batorah. You caused many to trip and with the Torah. Shichatem brit halevi, amar Hashem Tzvakot. You have destroyed the covenant that I made with Shevet Levi, says Hashem Tzvakot. And again, I want to point out to you what Marcel noticed last week, the constant use of Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts, the God that's coming with all of his armies to speak to the people. V'gam ani notati etchem nivzvim ushvalim l'chol ha'am. And this you're going to be happier with, this punishment, that the Levi, the Kohen, will be shamed and lower, debased in the eyes of all of the people. Kifi asher einchem shomrim et drachai. Why? Because you are not guarding my ways. Vinosim panim batorah. And not only not guarding my ways, but you are showing favoritism. Nesu panim is favoritism. Batorah. Panav elechai. Hashem, yes, it's exactly the bracha itself. It's exactly nosim panim batorah. Nosei panim. Exactly. Nosei panim batorah. In other words, by the way, this is the end of what he says about the Kohanim now. We have just finished part two of Malachi. Remember, part one was the relationship with Edom and the destruction of Edom. Ahavti etchem, B'nai Yisrael. Part two was all of the problems with the Kohanim of his time. And we just finished it. Everything that you did was exactly the opposite of what you should do. Therefore, everything in the bracha that you're supposed to give to B'nai Yisrael is going to be the exact opposite for you, because you will not have the honor and the respect of the people. And the people, of course, will suffer as well. And basically, he's very harsh. He's extremely harsh. But there's a tear in back of the harshness. There's a lot of pleading in back of the harshness. And we will see the tear come out very strongly in this part right over here. Did you have a question? Anybody have a question? Did I see a hand that was, no? Okay. I thought, Meryl, I thought you had a question. No? Okay. Unfortunately, they didn't, because what happened very early on, and I apologize to you that I can't tell you exactly, but please remember that we are standing just before the time of Alexander the Great. We're standing just before the time that Hellenism comes into Eretz Yisrael. It's really not a long time. I knew it very recently. I knew how much, but you know, from teaching about Daryavesh, the second Daryavesh was conquered by Alexander the Great. And so basically, what we have is very quickly, then you get worse corruption among the Kohanim, because the position of the Kohanim was purchased. Remember, we had a Kohen called Jason. You know, there was, the position was purchased, and what we had was a stronghold of Kohen, Matityahu Kohen Gadol Ubanav, Kishaamda Malchut Yavan Arasha'a. In other words, it's a terrible time that's coming. I really don't know the history exactly, but the corruption of the Kohanim is a big problem throughout the time of Bayit Sheni. It was going to be a terrible time right now. Okay, next topic. Hello, very poignant. Hello, Av Echad L'Kulanu. Don't we have one father? Hello, Kael Echad Baranu. Did not one God create us? Madua Nivgad Ish Ba'achiv. Why does a man betray, I couldn't remember the word, his brother, L'chalel Brit Avotenu, to desecrate the covenant of our fathers? I'm going to do another pasuk before we say, what are we talking about? Don't we have one father? Aren't we all created by the same God? Why do we betray each other? One particular thing in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, Bagda Yehuda, look at the next pasuk if you have the text. Bagda Yehuda. Yehuda has been treacherous. V'toeva ne'estav Yisrael. And an abomination, toeva is not a small word, my friends. An abomination has been done in Yisrael uvi Rushalayim. Ki chileil Yehuda kodesh Hashem asher ohev uba'al bat Kael, Bat El, Nechar. Did I say it clearly enough? I'll say it again. Ki chileil Yehuda Kodesh Hashem. Yehuda, meaning the people of Yehuda, have desecrated the holy Torah of Hashem that he loves, and they have Baal taken, Baal married. Bat El Nekachar, a daughter of foreign gods. We're going into the intermarriage, the Nisuei Tarovet. Let me read this to you in the Malbim because I think it's very important. He says, Hello, El Echad, right? Achar Shehochicham Alin Yanei HaKarbanot. After he gave them Musar about the Korbanot, the sacrifices, Matchil lahochicham al shehayu nosim nashim nachriot. He began giving them Musar because, unfortunately, One of the things that was widespread at this time was that they were marrying foreign women. And there were two evils in this. Aleph, shenasu bat el nechar. One thing that was terrible was the simple fact that they were marrying a daughter of a foreign god. But bet, you have to hear this. Shenashim hanochriot hayu kagvirot. The foreign wives were like the princesses, or like the main wives, if I can use that term. Unishehem hayisraeliot, and the Jewish wives hayu kishvachot beeinehem lanochriot, and they made the Jewish women like the slaves to the foreign wives. Vihine bilakachtam nashim mibnei amam hayabaze zug hagun. When they took wives from the daughters of their people, it was a proper pairing. It was a proper marriage. Im mitzad korvata mishpacha, whether it be from the closeness of family, shekulam bnei avot hamufcharim, you're taking somebody who's also a child of the avot. In other words, we're all of achad lekulanu, right? We're all the children of the avot. Im mitzad korvat hadat, or also from the closeness of religion, v'ha emunah, and belief, sheshnehem maminim bekel echad. In other words, you have a whole bunch of things going on here that he's trying to say, the Malbim. He's saying, one, it was unfortunate in and of itself that they were taking foreign wives, but they were taking foreign wives on top of the Jewish wives they already had. And the Jewish wives essentially became like servants. They were the ones who cleaned the toilets. They did the dishes. They did everything. And the foreign wives were like the princesses, were like the pets, you know, whatever you want to call them. Not only that, says the Malbim, but you have to understand that when you take a Jewish wife, then there's two things that are going on. One is the fact that we're all one family. It's a closeness of one family. And the second thing is that there's one belief, that there's one religion that's going on in the family. Ubazeh hitchabru. So when you take a woman from your own family and your own religion, hayula basar echad, then they're able to join and be like one flesh, which is what the Torah tells us we're supposed to do. Va'alze amar, and he says about this, halo kel echad bara'anu. Is it not true that one God created us? Ratzalomar kulanu bnei Yisrael bnei av echad umaminim bekel echad. We're all bnei Yisrael. We believe in one God, and we're the children of one Father. Lo kein ovdei elilim. This is not true of the idol worshippers. Shehem mishpachot shonot. They're different. They're from different families. Umaminim be'elohim shonim. And they believe in other gods. Ve'ech tikchu bat el nechar. Shebazeh tipagmu ba'achdut ha'mishpacha. How can you take these wives? Because you do something. You spoil the unity of the family. And that means the family of Klal Yisrael. Honey, that's not really that Brit. The person who wanted to say, we'll marry your descendants, that was Shechem. That was Shechem. No, but if you look at Avimelech, it's not that we'll marry Li, Ulenechti, Ulenini, however he puts it, Li, Ulenini, Ulenechti. In the Torah, Nini is not not great grandchild. But what he's saying is we will share the land. Look closely. I want you to know it was still a terrible mistake. And Baruch Hashem, we have the Ramban, who was always strong enough to say, not right, not right. The Ramban says these things, that that what Avraham did with Avimelech and Fichol really is what caused Vayichi Achar Hadvarim Ha'elev Elokim Nisa et Avraham. Why are you making a Brit with him? But it wasn't marriage. Look carefully, it wasn't marriage, it's the land. We will share the land. The land will belong, in other words, we'll have this land, and you will have this land. And we're all going to live together in peace and tranquility and harmony, which we know they never kept, and therefore there's no Brit. But that doesn't matter. Many times, it comes up again later in history. Like if you remember when David HaMelech came to conquer Metzudat Zion, remember that interesting perek that says that there were Ivrim and Pischim that were guarding the gates, there were the lame and the blind, and there's this whole medrash, the lame and the blind are, Yaakov is the lame and the blind is Yitzchak. In other words, remember we made a bris? For three generations, which included the name Blame and the Blind, and it's like it was longer than three generations, but they're still pulling their shtick and saying, which of course they're doing today too, and saying that there's still a Brit and you can't conquer Metzudat Zion because it doesn't belong to you. At any rate, I think I wanted to finish this because it was amazing. Okay, just a minute. Oh, no. I think that we finished it because we understand it very well, but look at it. In Pasuk Yud Bet, because we can do another Pasuk. Yachret Hashem lo ish asher ya'asena er va'oneh me'ehole Yaakov umagish mincha l'Hashem tzvakot. Hard pasuk. Let me read it again because I didn't put the emphasis in the right place. Yachret Hashem, Hashem will destroy for the man who does this. Meaning the man who marries the foreign wives. He is going to destroy er va'oneh. Simple, a child that's wide awake, a child that learns well, they're not going to have successful children. May Ohale Yaakov, from the Ohel of Yaakov, and if they're Kohanim who do this, there aren't going to be Kohanim who serve in the Beit HaMikdash, Umagish Mincha L'Hashem Tzvakot. So I want to. What base? Erva Onan, but that's not what he means. I know that you think, you know, it's like a usage of the same idea. Air is wide awake. Air is wide awake, and Oneh is somebody who can answer. Here, let me read you what the Mefarshim say. Rashi, I'm going to go right down before I go to Malbim. Rashi says, Er batalmidim va'oneh b'chachamim. Er lishon adam charif. A sharp person. So, wide awake, Er, is his children are not going to be sharp. They're not going to be smart. Oneh, they're not going to be able to discuss Torah. With the Chachamim, sorry. I wanted to hear. Metudot, Erva Oneme Ahale Yaakov, Shelo Yihyelo Ka'ale Yaakov, Heim Bate Medrashot Sham, Lo Yihyelo. He's not going to have his children able to participate in Batei Medrashot. Ale Yaakov is Batei Medrashot. V'lo oneh, lo er v'lo oneh, er hu talmid hama'orer lishon l'rabo, v'oneh hu chacham she'oneh u'meshiv. He's not going to have a good student, and he's not going to have a good teacher. The er being somebody who asks, the oneh being somebody who answers. So basically, you will suffer in your children. That's just as harsh, isn't it, as the bracha of the Kohenim? That's very interesting. Hold on, let's do... Here it is, Klomar. I just got the Radak. Shelo yisha'er beveito chai. There's not going to be anybody left in his house living. Shelo yisha'er beveito mi sheya'aneh hakoreisham. There's not going to be anybody awake or able to answer because they'll all be dead. Basically, it is again a curse, my friends. It is a curse on the children. The Malbim goes into the air of Oneh the way we saw it in Rashi. Talmidei Chachamim. There won't be people who learn. Jewish children, excellent. That was very well put. Yeah, they're not going to be Jewish children. Right away in Lemech. Right away, Lemech learned that little thing. In other words, one of the first, one of the first, what do you call it, when something is completely disgusting? One of the first things in civilization, and I'm trying to think of the word, it's a very simple word in English, but I can't think about it, that if you look in the Torah, this is one of the first aberrations. That's not the word I wanted, but it's good enough. One of the first aberrations in civilization was this idea of having one wife to have children and do the work, and another wife for pleasure. And if you remember, the wife that had the children would sit all dressed in disgusting clothes, and the other one would be dressed like a princess. Here, there's the addition. And the addition is that the wife who was treated like the servant is the Jewish wife, and the one that was treated like the princess is the non-Jewish wife. And you know what your punishment is? Absolutely. You are not going to have Jewish children, and you're certainly not going to have children who are er v'oneh, who are awake and able to answer. You're not going to have that. So that's the second thing. We're not finished yet. And we will continue Be'ezrat Hashem next week.